All right, hello and welcome back to the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things football in Portugal. You listen to myself, Albert, and as always, I'm joined by my brother, Barney. How are you doing, Barney? How's things?
Very good, yeah. Really excited to be back. Transfers have got me, my juices flowing. I love it all. I'm getting excited about players I have no idea about, thinking they're going to save a team's seasons. Yeah, I'm really good, man. I mean, I guess we should say, you know, it's new season, we got a slight change. I do feel a bit like, and I was trying to think of a good example, I feel a bit like Darwin Nunes at Liverpool, rocking up and seeing Hugo Ekitete and
and Alexander Isak ahead of you. Yeah, well, that's a good segue, because it's been a busy summer in the transfer window, not just for Europe's elite clubs, but also for the elite of the Portuguese football podcasting world. And it gives me great pleasure to announce not one, but two signings, permanent transfers to the Long Ball Football Podcast. You may have seen it on Twitter already or on our Patreon already, so you'll probably know. But it's a great pleasure to welcome both Kevin Fernandes and Andrew Batista to the Long Ball Football Podcast on a permanent basis. Here we go. Or should I say, what does that guy say? Relógio esto. Canta. Anyway, that other Portuguese fake Fabrizio. But yeah, anyway, Kevin and Andrew are with us full time. It's a great pleasure. Kev, I'll bring you in first. You've been on the show a bunch of times before. I'm sure the listeners will be familiar with you. But yeah, we should say a big welcome. And if you want to introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm going to complain first. And I've said this on the off. Every time that I come on, I've always come on after Sporting have lost. I'm a permanent signing. We've lost the Supertaça, so I'm not sure if I'm happy or upset to be here. We will find out if we lose another couple of games. I might be on the way out quite early, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, it's great to be here. Anyone who's heard me probably just knows I basically do what everyone else here does. Spout a few takes about Portuguese football. Love all of it. And yeah, nothing else too special, to be honest. So yeah, I'm just happy to get the new season started, to be honest. I don't like pre-season. World Cup, that's all well and good, but let's just get back into the Tugel.
100%. And I think it's fair to say that the fate of Sporting season will decide whether the Long Ball Football curse is forever broken. Because, you know, if Sporting can win the league, then really me and Barney will be vindicated and we'll never have that curse put against us ever again. Although, unless Porto do something dreadful, Andrew, in which case maybe there'll be grounds for a review. But of course, we should welcome Andrew Batista. Andrew, you've been on the show so many times. You're probably the most capped guest, probably. We could count, but I'm sure everyone who's listened to the show over the last couple of seasons will be familiar with yourself. And yeah, we're delighted to welcome Andrew alongside Kevin, who's going to offer us some great insights into all things Portuguese football, but especially Porto as well, perhaps.
Yeah, thank you very much. And as a Porto fan, I hope that Long Ball Football sort of voodoo on Sporting, long may it continue. Kevin, I hope you're with us for the long haul. But thank you for having me. I'm very excited to sort of join the show full time. I've had a good time every time I've been on here. And, you know, like Kevin, I just sort of do, you know, just kind of say a few takes, you know, see this, see that, that kind of thing. I just love the game. Love the Portuguese league especially, and yeah, happy to be here.
Fantastic. And as I said, Kevin and Andrew will be joining us every week on the Long Ball Football Podcast. They're also on all the normal social media channels, which you'll be able to find links to their pages in the description of this podcast, or I'm sure they'll be all over our Twitter page as well. If you want to head there, you'll find it. But the purpose of this show, obviously, the season starting this weekend, it's a very, very exciting moment. As Kevin said, we're all done with pre-season and all that kind of stuff. The transfers have got our blood flowing. So we're excited for the Premier League to kick off once again. What we're going to do is give you a little preview of what's to come. We're going to talk through all the big three clubs. We're going to talk through Braga. And then we're all going to talk about some clubs from further down the league that have caught our eye over the summer, who you maybe should look out for as the season goes on. But I think we should start, gentlemen, with last season's champions. It only seems fair to start with Sporting, who have probably had, what's the right word? The most dramatic summer of all the clubs in Portugal, perhaps. I think they've not been out of the headlines for very long, mainly due to one man whose name is Victor Gyökeres, who departed for Arsenal after a lengthy saga. But there have been a couple of incoming signings, and it's an opportunity for the manager to solidify his place at the helm and make more of a mark on the team, perhaps after picking up where Amorim left off. Kevin, I'll come to you first as the resident Sporting fan. Obviously, it was a bit of a shame how the Victor Gyökeres saga ended. It was a little bit unsavoury towards the end, but it got done for a fee that I think everybody was happy with, and that's kind of now an opportunity for the club to move on. And I think we've started to see signs of that in the transfer market.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, end of the day, the way that he entered the club, the way they left Coventry, it was not too dissimilar. So anyone nowadays who thinks that a footballer is just because they win a couple of trophies or they bang on a badge a couple of times, and even if they show that they're very happy at the club, look, we can't be too surprised. Gyökeres, he's not had a Premier League proper opportunity thus far in his career. He's 27. He's not at the start of his career. So he might have just seen it as a now or never. And you can kind of understand it from his perspective, especially if the agent that he has, who a little bit like our good friend George Mins, he plays the game. He's a good professional. Sporting might not have liked it, as Gyökeres and his agent obviously didn't like what Varandas and Sporting were doing. But at the end of the day, it's just how it goes. You can't really hold it against him. And really, you can't actually be too mad at the guy because look what he did. I mean, I'm not the oldest Sporting fan in the world, but even those who saw the likes of Manuel Fernandes, Yazal, I doubt many people were around to see the likes of Paredes, but he's up there as one of the best players that we've seen in a Sporting shirt. So that's going to live a lot longer than the way that he left or the way that he ended. So, yeah, honestly, I think everyone by the end of it was just happy to get him finally off the books, get the money in, which was not a bad fee, all things considered. Most ex expensive player outside of the top five leagues at his age. Can't expect too much more than that. And yeah, I don't think that people can really expect too much more Sporting in the transfer market, anyways. There's a couple of signings still yet to be done. There's a lot of talk about a left winger coming in, Vagianidis and Mangas, two fullbacks. They're in Lisbon. We don't know where they are yet. It's not official, but apparently they're on the way. It's been a couple of
They're sleeping
days.
on Rui Borges' sofa as we speak.
Yeah, we will see. I don't know if they've been training. I don't know if there's something about or paperwork, whatever. Someone will come in eventually. And the signings that have been made, they were either quite necessary because of outgoings, or they're just bonuses, to be honest. Because if you don't lose the bulk of your spine, which tends to happen in Portugal and the big three clubs, they need to sell to stay competitive. And it's just the way of life, it's how the food chain goes. Sporting have only lost Gyökeres from the first string. Everyone else, they've been bit part players or youngsters that have been sold with high percentages of the past remaining. Just in case, if they do go on to bigger things, there's either a financial gain or a sporting gain later on, no pun intended. So I'm quite satisfied with Suarez as a replacement for Gyökeres. Obviously, you can't really go and expect the same sort of output from day one. He's a slightly different player. Gyökeres is obviously very known for the physical style of play. Suarez, potentially a little bit more technical, a little bit better in hold up. He's not as okay, give me the ball and I'll charge forward and I'll make it happen myself. It's a little bit more of a collaborative player. So I think that will take some time to adjust, but he also gives the likes of Trincão, Porto, who spent a large part of last season out, it gives them higher protagonism. It gives them the chance to once again stake their claim on the side and really show that they can be the main man or main men in this instance. And probably the other. Out of everyone that's been signed so far, anyway, Khosrowshahi from Levante, he looks like a very good acquisition. Obviously, not seen too much so far. Pre-season isn't always the 100% best sure way to make sure of a player's quality. Maybe these are false dreams, but it looks very commanding, has a very good passing range. That became evident in even in few minutes against Benfica, not playing and starting. But I think that's a very good bonus. Alisson from Leiria, or technically from Brazil, the parent club.
Yeah.
Look, it practically he just replaces Afonso Moreira, who wasn't really in the side. If he offers something immediately, it's a bonus. If not, it's one for the future. Same with João Virginia, but Frank Israel left for a good fee, 5 million. He wasn't showing signs of getting into the side, let's be honest. He lost his place. The opportunity that he had, I'm going to say that he fluffed it, to be honest, because if Sporting had lost the league last season, I'm not going to say that it's his fault because there was a lot of playing factors, but he wasn't exactly. Doesn't cost the club anything. He knows the furniture. He knows everything. He's probably not going to get too much minutes, just a bit part player. Probably make a little bit of an impact behind the scenes, hopefully. And that's fine. And there's nothing much else to shout about because if we remember Sporting last season, they had a massive injury crisis and they had to go looking around the B team for players to bring up and to play some spare minutes. Those players have now grown in a bit of stature. The likes of João Simões, who last season wouldn't have been considered, now he's part of the squad. So that's how Sporting have really got some more depth. And Sporting aren't in the same situation as Benfica and Porto, where 2 seasons without a league title. So really, those two clubs are going all in. They really do need a good season at this point. Sporting, they're already in a very good place. So they don't need to go above and beyond. They just need to build on and try and replace what they already have. So maybe a little bit underwhelming in comparison with the names that Porto and Benfica are bringing in. But at the end of the day, it's probably what is needed. It's the bare minimum. Doesn't mean it's negative. Really, all eyes are more on Rui Borges and what he can do to fully transition this side away from what Amorim was and what he wants to be. Because you had the excuse of the injuries and being mid-season last season. He's got to do everything by himself, and this is all him. So I think that's really the main story of Sporting's transfer window, which is what does he bring in just to supplement the very good tools he already has and has kept, and what they do on the pitch, the tactical tweaks, and more that aspect than anything else.
Absolutely. I think Kevin's hit the nail on the head there, Andrew, when he talks about the main kind of dynamic of Sporting going into this season is not losing Vitor Roque, which of course is a big moment. Although I think it's, slightly more obvious that they just need to be a bit slightly more, the goals will be spread around the team slightly more. Seems fair enough. They've got the players to do it, but definitely to me, it's to do with the manager. And are we going to see Rui Borges really take the helm of this team, make the team his own, even down to things like the formation that he's going to set them up in, and obviously the tactics that they're going to play? Because it was definitely a transition season last year. Victor Offergo has got them over the line massively in terms of his goals. So that for me is by far the most interesting dynamic. I feel like for the first time, we're really going to see this Sporting team in Rui Borges' mould.
I agree, and yeah, Kevin got it spot on there. It is literally a season of Rui Borges getting the team playing the way exactly he wants them to play. We saw that a bit in the Supertaça, although it's really early in the season, the players are still not quite match fit. But you could see how quick they progress the ball. They're a more transitional threat, and it's a lot more direct than sort of Amorim ball was. And it was so they moved the ball from one side of the pitch to the other really quickly. Probably a few issues will be maybe Konrad Harder. He needs the team a little closer to him. He struggled in that game. And even a defender like António Silva, who's not the best defender, was able to sort of deal with his threat. I thought Humlin was really good. I thought Morita was really good. I mean, Humlin's the best player in that team, and you really want to hold on to him. And the sort of the rumors that Juve are kind of circling, trying to get him, that I would be very worried about that if I was a Sporting fan, because I think he really makes that whole team tick. And it's if you can keep this team fit, because this is a team that's more the way it's set up and the way Rui Borges has them playing. It is more down to the having your best 11, because they are sort of gonna they are going to dictate what your team can do. and any sort of injury crisis, if you lose Hjulmand for a period of time or Diomande, I think it really affects how this team plays. And it's going to be very hard to sort of work around that if it's not like a system-centric kind of team. But otherwise, they weren't going into the season in the same place as Porto and Benfica because they are the champions. They just have to sort of build on what they have, whereas Porto and Benfica are trying to catch up. But my sort of prediction for the season, I know we're not doing predictions, but I do think Sporting are going to struggle a bit this season. That's just my sort of hot take.
No, I don't think it's an unfair. I don't think it's an unfair opinion at all, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of people who agree with you. Definitely, because, like I said, it's the shadow of Amorim and Gyökeres is starting to kind of fade, and yeah, it'll be really fascinating. I think Sporting, as always, of course, a lot of people will be following Sporting, but I think they'll definitely be one of the most interesting teams to keep an eye on from a neutral perspective this season, because on the one hand you say they could struggle, but then equally I think you could say that there's a good chance that they flourish. And Barney, one of the big things I think they've got going for them is a fantastic squad of players. Obviously Victor Gyökeres has left, but they still got the likes of Trincão, who for me is probably arguably the best footballer in the Primeira Liga now that Gyökeres has left. Pedro Gonçalves. They've got the defenders in terms of Diomande and Inácio. They've still got the likes of Hjulmand. So as Andrew says, unless they lose one or two of those players currently, I think the squad is in a very, very good place.
Yeah, I want to sort of say yes and no. Just hearing everyone talk, then I keep coming back to this feeling that I had last season with the injury crisis, that it still feels pretty light in midfield despite the signings. I think, I'm still a bit confused by some of the talk that was coming up towards the end of the season that hasn't sort of materialized during the summer, and the likes of Morita wanting to leave and St. Just as well being sort of out of the team. Kevin might know more of me, be able to fit us in on that. But I'm sort of looking at the squad, Albert, and we've talked about what formation they're going to play and stuff. It still sort of li looks like it has they haven't brought in enough to sort of for Rubos to make these alterations that he may want to, whether they're going to do that with the money that Gyökeres has brought in, and then that sort of comes back to another point where, like, did they really get enough for him? Was as much as they could have? I don't know. Are they going to have to sell another player? Because I'm surprised that no one's. No, sorry, I'm not surprised. I think perhaps what we're seeing with Sporting is the negatives and the positives of all the financial restrictions that clubs across Europe are now finding themselves in the sense that maybe some of these players are going to hang around a little bit longer, but they're getting a little bit less money for when those players go, like Gyökeres, like Isugo, perhaps. I guess what I'm trying to say is, yeah, I think they are going to struggle. I think if they don't make more signings, there's not going to be that much alteration, and I still come back to this feeling I had at the end of the last season, which I think Gyökeres was just so important for this team. I think you're right, Trincão is the best player in the league. He needs to get more goals. Pedro Gonçalves, if he's fit, also needs to contribute as well, of course. Maybe I'm being a bit too negative. Can I ask Kevin about Morita and St. Just? Because I've missed a few stories since then, but I do remember seeing stories about both of those players wanting out or sort of being for like being told they could leave. I don't know if Kevin knows any more.
Well, I think Morita was more him wanting to try the Premier League. He's come out in an interview a few times and said that is his goal. Eventually, he does want to try out the Premier League, and his contract does end next season. So I think it's more Sporting were putting up the feelers to see whether they can cash in on him now. Otherwise, well, it just looks like he's leaving for not too much less than what Sporting had brought him in for
Yeah.
from Santa Clara. So look, if he doesn't leave, he fills out the midfield depth. He's been used quite consistently. I think that ship has kind of sailed. And if anything, you've added a little bit to the midfield depth just by bringing in Kosharashvili, which again, it's the same sort of signing, very low cost and could easily make quite a decent impact. Whereas with St. Just, I think that's more Sporting maybe being a little bit optimistic because at his age and with his injury record, I'm
Yeah.
not sure who will be too keen on taking that risk. And it might also depend on what happens with Vagianidis coming in, who reportedly is in Lisbon. That's a matter of time before it gets confirmed. And before in January, when Sporting were also looking for a right back, and there was talks of Alberto Costa, who eventually went to Porto, went to Juventus at the time, and Andres Garcia, who went to Aston Villa. Sporting missed out on those two targets. And Fresneda was already pretty much confirmed. It was just waiting for Sporting to get replacement. Fresneda was going to Como in Italy. So I'm not 100% sure with Vagianidis coming in. Fresneda played quite a good game against Benfica in the Supertaça just now. Maybe that changes plans a little bit. Maybe Quaresma, instead of doing that sort of hybrid role where he plays a little bit on the right, where his main position, or what he was also not always known as, was a defender, central defender. Maybe that changes his role a little bit, and maybe St. Just leaves instead of Fresneda leaving. But I think that's where the question is more opened up, because you would believe, even though Kenda and Essugu and Gyökeres, they all count for this financial year, technically. It's a little bit of a grey area, but whether you want to count financial fair play and what makes Sporting have to sell immediately, is you would think that it's potentially a little bit too much to have around the squad, especially when you look at fullbacks. If we confirm Vagianidis and Mangas, you've got Nonsense, Maxi Araújo, Matheus Reis, Mangas, technically Quaresma, Travassos, Vagianidis, and Fresneda at that point. And if you play a back three or a back five, if you want to count it, you have Jenny and Kenda, who've also played there for Amorim and Ana Rui Borges. So should be interesting. I would expect a few more outgoings if these players are coming in, though, 100%.
Yeah, and I think some of the rumours of the players that come in, especially in the fullback positions, to me personally does suggest a change of shape, which remains to be seen, obviously. But again, and that would be a further example of Rui Borges kind of playing more of his system that he wants to play. I mean, it's good to have a bit of balance in the podcast early. A couple of people reckon Sporting might struggle. I still remain optimistic. I look at the squad and I think there's a real kind of, I think people have kind of been lulled into that, just putting everything on Victor Gyökeres and all the success on Gyökeres, but I just think there is still an awful lot of quality in the team, especially in the attacking positions with Pedro Gonçalves and Trincão and Kenda and Jenny Catano. So listen, we'll see, but I think there's a real possibility that Sporting will be up there at the end of the season. Let's continue on with our preview of the teams and carry on down last year's table and talk about Benfica, because it's been another window of big money movements at Benfica, both in and out of the club. Carreras was a big sale, 50 million euros he departed for. And they've spent decent money on a number of signings as well, most notably Richard Rios from Palmeiras on the back of a eye-catching Club World Cup campaign. I think for me, Andrew, one thing I saw as a weakness in Benfica last season was kind of the squad management, perhaps the squad being a bit unbalanced, perhaps being the product of multiple windows with multiple signings, fragmented signings that perhaps didn't gel together. Of course, it was inevitable that they had to sign players this transfer window, but I think they've signed a lot of young players with promise, and I wonder whether we're seeing Bruno Lage kind of mold the team more into what he wants as he starts to get rid of some of the players that aren't perhaps the ones that he wants to be working with.
And the big improvement had to be the midfield, because that was somewhere I thought they struggled a lot last season. Richard Rios looks like a good player. I think Enzo Berenguer, he was really good against Sporting, and he's just a good player overall. And I think that you need those kind of midfielders that can control the tempo. He's playing Barreiro, Leonardo Barreiro, a little bit further forward. And his sort of energy and his pressing, really, like, is really working with this kind of shape. I think they've had a good window so far. You have Pavlidis, who's a very talented striker, so you know you can get goals from him. You just have to make sure you're creating those goals. You've got players that still might leave, someone like Kerem Aktürkoğlu, who's been a really good player for them, but it sounds like he might go back to Turkey. They obviously just lost Carreras to Real Madrid as well. But overall, I think he's definitely starting to fix some of the issues that they had last season. They had a big problem with losing the ball just in front of their own box, trying to play out from the back. The midfield wasn't sort of confident enough and I guess talented enough to sort of be able to deal with that, receiving the ball and then sort of playing it through the lines. They look a lot better at that now this season, and they just look more organized, more confident. I think it takes time. You need sort of time to just work these things out. I know it was his first game, Dedic. It was his first game, but he looked really, really poor in that Supertasa game. I don't know if it's literally it's his first game, so he might get better. But yeah, Benfica have kind of been a strange team for the last few seasons. They've kind of bored me. They haven't really done anything for me. And this season, with especially that midfield, because I like sort of a really exciting midfield, that does look good. I don't know if they're going to have enough to sort of go all the way, depending on who leaves and if they're able to replace those players, because it does look like they might lose one or two players. But yeah, time will tell.
Absolutely, and Kevin, obviously they were, without wanting to rub it in, successful in the Supertassa, but it meant you were able to get a look at what they might look like this season, up close. And of course they're building a good squad. The only area that alarms me slightly is that they look like they're kind of sleepwalking into a real lack of depth on the wings, considering they lost Di Maria and they might lose Aktürkoğlu and Schlader might leave. And when I was looking down the squad list earlier, if all those players were to leave, they'd be left with basically Thiago Gouveia, Prestiani and Alzhenes if Lars still wants to play him as a left winger. So, there's still potential holes in this squad, but perhaps, as Andrew mentioned, they're still building in midfield and in a lot of other areas. And I do like the fact that they're signing young players who can grow rather than maybe getting in some kind of more over the hill players.
Yeah, I don't dislike what Benfica are doing at the moment. Obviously, I dislike it as a Sporting fan, but being objective, of course. They didn't necessarily impress me too much in the Supertassa. Then again, neither did Sporting impress too highly in that match. It was very much a 50-50. And look,
True.
that 1-0 being in that goal, which wasn't particularly due to anyone's quality, is probably the reflection of the game. Obviously, they just come back from a very short pause, a very long season with the Club World Cup thrown into the mix. They've got a couple of tough tests now in Champions League qualifying. They've not got the easiest route, so I'm pretty sure that's going to be taking their priority. And obviously, they've got a nice confidence boost after that win. And after losing multiple key figures, I mean, Di Maria leaving, as much as people wanted to question his sort of role and how prevalent he should be in terms of minutes in that side. He's always a very good creator. Di Maria will always do Di Maria things at some sort of interval. And obviously, Koksu and Carreras leaving. I think Koksu may be not justifying particularly the price tag, or perhaps because of that, people expecting more. But he was still very important for Benfica last year in terms of progressing the ball and having some sort of presence in the final third centrally. Not perfect, and I think, as Andrew kind of alluded to, the midfield pairing, Barenshea and Rius, that started in the Supertassa, much more complete. I don't think Benfica will have nearly as many issues in that midfield as they had last season with, and I'm going to kind of pick on him a little bit, Florentino Luiz. He's just not good enough on the ball, realistically. He has very evident limitations. I don't dislike it, but I think the one thing that will really limit this side, and as much as in the past they've had weaknesses in terms of like right back depth, where they've only had one recognised player and Alcrin has kind of had to go everywhere, they've sorted that, yes, but it depends on whether Lage actually wants to make the most out of what he has at his disposal. Because what I saw against Sporting, and you could have kind of made the same sort of argument for Sporting against Benfica in the same way, but there was a real lack of creativity, a real lack of ideas when they were in the final third. And if you don't use players, and I'm even going to go to the point of Bruma, if you don't use Prestiani, Sheldrup, even Gouveia marauding down the right hand side, if Dedic is having a poor game, he could even play right back. And if you don't use these sorts of players, then you're really limiting the depth that there actually is at his disposal. So when you analyze the squad, it's a little bit strange because you look at the names, there is quality there is potential there, but we know that Lage has his preferences and he doesn't seem to budge. So again, I think I'm kind of going to repeat myself with the conclusion around their transfer window. I don't think the signings are necessarily the option. I think they could go for another creator, another, as they were going for João Félix, someone in that sort of mold, someone who likes to come inside, someone who's purely a dribbler, has that creative passing, who likes going into the box, can grab a couple of goals. They can use with that, of course. But at the end of the day, I think it's very much limited to what Lage will want to use of what is readily available, because there are the strong points of using the midfield that he used against Sporting. Barreiro in that sort of role where he's very direct, he's fundamental in the press. If Barreiro wasn't there, Sporting would have cut through the Benfica press a lot more times, and they already did it quite significantly. Like, there are the strong points, yes, but at the end of the day, it might limit what Benfica do against your typical side in the Portuguese league, which will sit back, will be a little bit more of a compact block. And then who's going to make the difference for you? Because you had a Di Maria before, you had Coxu who could hit one from outside of the box. But I don't see that being on the pitch for too long with Bruno Lage. Maybe in the last 20 minutes he'll throw these players on. But I can see Benfica potentially getting to last phases of matches, struggling and needing that bit of inspiration. And perhaps if you had bet on these sorts of young talents with a lot of quality, and they've shown this quality in patches, then maybe Benfica won't have as many issues. I think that's my conclusion, really. Decent squad, as always. They've got more conditions than anyone else in Portugal. They should be doing better. But is the manager giving these players the conditions?
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting perspective. And I think when I look at Bruno Lage, I definitely see a manager who there's great advantages to having a manager like Bruno Lage. Most importantly for me, perhaps, just the fact that he knows how to manage Benfica, which is a very unique kind of ship to be at the helm of. You know, there's a lot of idiosyncrasies to that club, and clearly he's able to work within the structure in a way that perhaps Roger Schmidt never was, you know, something like that. But I definitely agree with what you're saying, Kevin, in terms of there's a lot of great elements to that squad, but for me it does seem a little bit incomplete. And Barney, I don't know about you, but I wonder whether have they done enough in the transfer window to make a big difference from last season where they did have some limitations.
Yeah, I was going to say a bit. It feels like ever since we've started this podcast, we always have the same conversation about Benfica, which is like, question. It feels like they've got the pieces there to complete the puzzle, but the manager never is able to complete it. You know, like we're always saying, like, you know, what's going on? I think the difference with this season and judging by what they've done in the transfer window so far is that the shift to bringing in these younger players sort of doesn't fill me with as much confidence as previous years in terms of the quality that that's going to be at the manager's disposal. I do personally, though, I do quite like the move. Like, you know, they of course they've always signed young, but you know, if you look at even last January's window with the signing of like Belotti on loan and you know even Bruma signed, like that was some quite interesting. You know, Amadouni on, is it Amadouni, sorry, on loan from Burnley as well. But you know, like it just not. Not smart signings in the sense of looking on sell on value. With these young players, though, I'm just a bit worried about, you know, they obviously have great potential. I keep coming back to Prestigiani, and I'm really hoping that he will be able to make it a better. Same with Sheldrup, but as we've seen with Lage, he's sort of almost flirted with the idea of like these youngsters, you know, particularly Sheldrup, of becoming like the star and letting him grow. I don't know if that's going to happen more this season. Who knows? I think they will be more active in the window, and I do expect to see a few more faces. And I think the other point I was going to make is particularly looking at the fullback positions. You know, Andrew mentioned it about Dedic's performances. You know, Dedic is a player that's always been rumored of a big move, but that never has materialized. And there must be a reason why. And perhaps it, you know, Benfica's the move he's been able to find. I was going to say, like, you know, despite these not being able to get the best out of the attacking players or necessarily playing the right players in the right position in the front line, Benfica have always felt like they've had a really solid defence. Looking at the fullback positions now, Carrera's gone. You know, the two left backs, Dahl and Odrubor, who's from Real Madrid. I don't know too much about them, but you know, they're certainly not coming with any real pedigree. And then you look at the right hand side as well, Dedic and Bardal injured, Leonardo Santos is only 19. Suddenly, I've got a few more questions about that defence, and I feel like perhaps maybe that's where they're gonna fall down. You know, they've always had a solid defence, and then the attack has always been a bit mismatched, and they haven't quite worked out. This season, it looks like they still might be a mismatch in attack and not know what to do, and they haven't got as strong a defence. So, I don't know. I feel like I've been negative about every team so far. But I don't know. Do you see the point I'm making? It just feels, and you know, they've only got the three centre backs in the squad at the moment: Antonio Silva, Araujo, and Otamendi. So maybe they're going to be bring someone else in there.
If I'm gonna maybe put a positive spin on this, I think there's some undeniably good players in the side, and I look at Pavlidis as probably the best striker in the league, unless somebody can take that title off of him. In Trubin, they have the best goalkeeper in the league for me. They still have Otamendi, who, despite getting older, still delivers. Antonio Silva, of course. Araujo at the back, I think, is an excellent player. And as Andrew said, the midfield has been reinforced to a great extent. So it is a funny one. I know for a lot of our perspective is kind of, it's good, but it could be better. Whether it's good enough is something that I think we're all kind of not sure about yet, and only the season will tell, because that will obviously depend on not only them but the other teams in the league and how they perform. There's still one or two questions for me to be answered by Bruno Lage and by the team signing the players. So we'll see how the transfer window progresses. I think it would be a shame if Postecoglou was to leave and they weren't to bring in a replacement. But yeah, we'll see how the transfer window goes on.
Can I just bring up? I've got the Supertaster lineups up to check how they were playing, and Google got Alcinus with a full head of hair. So is he one of these players who shaves it off? Like,
No, I think it's just a couple of years old. He's not got
couple
the
of years
minerals
though.
of Pep, who was
What
the
is he
most
with a
frightening
full
of all
head
the
of
head
hair?
shavers. Yeah, that was before he was managed by Roger Schmidt. Shall we move on then to Porto and come to our resident Portista, Andrew? Because listen, whisper it quietly, but it's been quite a positive summer for Porto, especially after a difficult season last year. Obviously, the biggest news story was Farioli, the manager, of course, the new manager Farioli coming in to replace Martin Anselmi following a disappointing Club World Cup campaign. I have to say, I did feel some sympathy for Martin Anselmi. The question in my mind was, if they'd never played in the Club World Cup, would he still have a job? But the fact remains, it was a poor showing at the Club World Cup, and he did leave. I'm not disappointed by the managerial placement at all. I think Farioli is a great appointment. Andrew, let me know if you or not you agree. But definitely, not just with the manager, but also with some of the signings, there's definitely some positivity, and I think reasons to be optimistic.
Definitely. I'm quite happy that Villas-Boas took action. He decided, you know what, Farioli's available. Let's try get him. Let's try and sort of revamp this team. He's made some really good moves. Just on Farioli, he's already been able to establish his playing identity very clearly on the pitch. And it took Anselmi forever. And I know it was a different shape and a whole different situation coming in halfway through the season, et cetera, but you can already see his philosophy is very much ingrained in this team. It's an easier sort of thing to do with that in that shape. But there's a lot of positives to that. Someone like Alan Varela, who's a very good player and really struggled last season, and you can already see him sort of improving. The structure around him helps him. It suits his style of play. And then obviously you've got the sort of the midfield improvement around and the players that have come in makes it easier as well, right? So if the players around you are good, that sort of maximizes your ability to sort
Absolutely.
of play better. And then some of the signings have been really good. Victor Froholt, the one that everyone's kind of talking about, really great young player. He's so good on the ball. He's great at doing those runs, forward, those attacking runs. Very good technically on the ball as well, quite techy. He's able to sort of get past a player or two. He's had three standout performances already. He scored some goals, been very impressive. Gabri Veiga, I think he's been good, understated but good. He got sent off, but that is what it is.
Don't mind that
We
every
don't
now and
really
again,
want.
you know, it shows a bit
No,
of
you know,
passion.
exactly, especially on your debut. And then Borja Sainz has looked good as well, and he's also done the bold thing for Rioli of not starting Rodrigo Moura, which is has been a question mark sort of on everyone's lips in Portugal. I was watching the sort of build up to the last preseason game we had against Atletico Madrid, and they were talking about it at length. 10 minutes. It wasn't like a big discussion, but they were kind of saying, it's kind of weird, but Farioli's the manager, he knows what he's doing, that sort of thing. And it's quite bold because he is sort of the star boy, and everyone wants to sort of, everyone wants him to play, and he maybe should be in this team. But I think the players that we have make the midfield and the attack a lot more controlled, which is really important. And it helps sort of build that dominance again in possession. We're not so much just, going back and forth and in transition and that sort of crazy kind of football. You want to control the possession, be the team on top, especially in the Portuguese league, which is where we should be doing that. We should be dominating every game, especially in possession in that midfield, which is something we struggled last season with big time. Other signings, the signing of Young Bednarek was a bit of a strange one, I'd
Yeah,
say.
perhaps.
He's a good defender, 7.5 million euros, so he didn't cost a fortune. Very experienced, and I think that's really what you brought him in for. Same with Luke de Jong. This team desperately needed experience, and you brought in two really experienced players, two players that have really good injury records, so they're able to stay fit. Last few seasons, they've played a lot of football, especially De Jong. He's had three really good seasons in at PSV, and you hope that he can contribute and he can continue to contribute. But just a few notes that I realized that I was looking at with Farioli. So he wants his number nine to be involved and build up a bit more. And this is where I think it's going to be difficult for Samu, because Samu, he's got great energy and he's explosive, and he's also good at sort of finding good bits of space, or following the ball, following the run, that sort of thing. But he's quite clumsy. He's not got the best first touch. He's not very good in build up. And I think that's why you bring in someone like De Jong, who's a bit more understated, a bit more technical, and can sort of be involved and build up more. I don't know if that means maybe Samu might leave. I think he'll probably be another season here and then go if he has a good season. I don't know. But I do think that's going to be something to look at during the season. And just another thing on Villas-Boas, which he's had a lot of criticism since he's become president, but so far so good this window. I think he's done some really good business. And some of the business, Otávio going for 17 million to Paris FC. I mean, wow, what a bit of business
Absolutely
that is.
unbelievable.
Yeah. And then Chico, obviously, Constantin going to Juve, João Mário going and getting Albert Costa the other way, which is pretty good. Gonçalo Borges, which I'm quite happy that he's gone, I'll be honest, because
Good
he's a
for
very
you again. Good
frustrating
for you.
player. Good fee. And then, the players like Dominic Perpich, I don't know much about him, but from what I've seen, pretty good so far. And then maybe we'll see more of William Gomes. But the good thing about bringing in quality players and sort of improving your starting 11 like this is that your squad players now are squad players. Last season, our squad players were having to start. Players like Zaidu, the players that maybe shouldn't be starting every game had to start. Zé Pedro, et cetera, et cetera. And now you've got a bit of depth. And I think that's really important. And for the first time in a while, I've got a really good feeling going into the season, because it looks like things are looking up. We've made some good moves. The team are playing good football, and we've got some experience in the team, which is something we've needed. The most experienced players were Pepe, who's not really a leader, and he's a bit hot and cold. Diogo Costa, maybe, if you want. But yeah, overall, very good, very happy, and I have a feeling that we're going to do really well this season.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. I think to come back actually on what you said about Rodrigo Moura, I just think it is an interesting situation to see him, maybe have a few little spell out of the team. I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing in the world for a young player like Rodrigo Moura, not just to have a little spell on the sidelines, but also a player on his trajectory of that kind of real stratospheric trajectory at such a young age. Even linked with clubs like PSG this summer, for him to have a manager who maybe places certain demands on him and actually maybe says to him that Maybe you're not guaranteed a place in this team. And these are all things that you have to learn as a professional footballer if you're going to make it at the highest level, that nothing is guaranteed, and you do have to earn your place in the team. But I agree. I think it's been a very, very good window. I think Borja Sainz is a kind of an upgrade on pretty much anyone that you had on the wings, especially the likes of, God love him, Ivan Jaime, who just wasn't getting a look in, and players like that. It's a clear upgrade. Alberto Costa is a very good signing, and Gabri Veiga, who it was one of those guys who, when he moved to Saudi, everyone was like, wait, he's going to Saudi? It felt like, he was too good and he was too young to make that move. So I think that's also a very shrewd bit of business, because I think the fee was quite reasonable as well. So very, very good transfer market so far. Kevin, how are you feeling about it? Because listen, maybe you got a little bit used to having just the one rival, but now maybe there might be two. But I think, in fairness, a lot of people like myself were kind of maybe a little bit too lenient on Anselmi, and perhaps a little bit too almost, what's the word? Accepting of the situation of, oh, it's everything's in transition, and they need time. But they have taken action this window with the new manager and some good signings, and it does seem to have kind of accelerated that progress quite a lot.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you can see by the instant impact of Fabregas, though it is pre-season and there is a pinch of salt to be taken with it, there is immediate improvement. You can see style of play, and that was what I think people weren't completely sold on Anselmi, because as much as he did try and implement it, it seemed like he was always tinkering to suit the opposition and try and at the same time nullify the opposition. And when you're in that sort of situation, you've got either play to your strengths or continue what was being done before, because otherwise you're not achieving either of your goals. You're not setting up next season when Porto were clearly seemed to be pretty much out of every competition, even though they were still competing. They didn't look very assured. They didn't look threatening. They didn't set up the future. Neither did they sacrifice the future for little bit of sympathy for Anselmi. Farioli is clearly a manager with a little bit more pedigree in comparison even to Vitor Bruno. And it doesn't come without its drawbacks, because Farioli has had a couple of stints at even at Ajax, where at near the end dropped off heavily when he was at Nice, had major issues scoring goals. I mean, they're amount of goals scored compared to the competition was very, very poor. And you always have to look at that with a little bit of as a 50-50 mind, because you're coming into a league where most of the time you're playing very, very deep compact blocks. And if you can't really break them down, and if you can't play on equal terms, you might have a few difficulties adapting to the task, which will be even more than what you've probably faced at Ajax, facing that sort of opposition. So, as much as this is a probably the best transfer window of any team in Portugal, as much as I do rate a lot of the signings and the team has significantly improved on the pitch and in terms of squad depth and immediate quality in the starting lineup, perhaps it won't be flawless from day one. And that kind of has to be expected. You can't expect Porto to go from what they were last season to immediately, like, first place for first 5-10 games. I wouldn't expect that, but they will challenge, they will threaten. And I think all credit has to be given to Villas-Boas. Even if last season was shaky on the pitch, the work done off the pitch has been monumental. And those who have looked at the finances a little bit more deeply than probably we have know that it was necessary. The sales were for good money, and they were necessary for the future of the club. And it's continued to this season. It's not been only good purchases, but very good business in terms of outgoings, especially Gonçalo Borges and Otávio, and even João Mário, because not too many people rated João Mário as heavily as they do Alberto Costa. And the ceiling for Alberto Costa is much superior to João Mário, who had his clear defensive weaknesses in comparison. So I'd say the obvious two players to bring out at this point, obviously Froholt, which I was very close to putting him as my young player of the season prediction, but Mora look, end of the day, you can't put too much expectation on a player of that age, and I think they are trying to keep him grounded. He didn't come into the side at Porto earlier because of that. It was very intentional. So we will keep that in mind. And Borja signs, I think he's everything Porto lacked in attack, because you didn't have that incisive player who will take the shot. Porto were very tentative around the box. They didn't have anyone who shot with conviction. Signs in the championship has shown that he's that sort of player. Cut in, shoot every single time. So I'm very impressed with those two. I expect Porto to be a lot more dominant in a lot more games, but perhaps there is still a little thing here or there to tweak.
I think that is a fair comment. And actually, one thing I did write down was about the squad depth, which might hold them back, just because, yeah, a lot of good signings, and I think you could build a really good 11 with the players that they've got. But yeah, perhaps, one or two players in the squad that maybe they need to fill in with injuries and what have you, might be slightly on the weaker side. But yeah, Barney, how do you see it? Because I know we spoke about Porto so much last season and kind of hoped for the best under Anselmi. It wasn't to be. But definitely some positive moves over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, coming back to Anselmi, and yeah, I like you, but I was sort of really willing him to succeed. But when you think about it all, and seeing everything that's happened this summer, it's almost a bit crazy, isn't it? Because it was, wasn't there the potential at one point they were going to get fined a considerable amount of money for the way they acquired Anselmi from his club, and there was all this going on. It didn't work out, and then you can sort of forget about the manager before. Villas-Boas, in my opinion, I know he's there's been a lot of work financially behind the scenes, and that has now sort of seems to be getting ironed out almost. But there was a few questionable decisions he's made last season, and so this is why this summer looks even more impressive, because I literally have got nothing to fault. I thought Andrew described the squad perfectly in terms of, those smart signings, the financial side, like the way he's done the finances and some of those deals, like the Juventus swap, the experienced players coming in, it all makes sense. Even Frohold, I mean, if you could look at, I'd never heard of that guy when they signed him. Signed him for 20 million. I've watched his highlights video. I'm like, oh, I love this guy. He's had a game or two. He looks great. And do you, like, you can be pretty confident now that they are going to make a profit on it at some point. He's a great age profile. He looks good. He's going to play. So even that, on first looking, I thought that was a bit of a gamble. That looks smart. So I'm incredibly impressed. I think Kevin's right though. Let's not get completely carried away, because I think the whole thing with Porto is coming back to this sort of pressure now of they have to break into the top two. They've had their financial issues that seems to be ironing out, but if you stay out of the Champions League for a couple of years, that needs to change, and particularly the way Sporting have come up and are now sort of establishing themselves. So this is a really, really important season. There is pressure. There's always going to be pressure there, but it's a really exciting squad, and as we've all said, it's like they've had the best window so far. It fills me with a lot of excitement, and I can't wait to see how they play. And the Farioli, it feels like everything Porto have needed has come this summer. So, yeah, if they can escape not let the pressure get to them, because like I say, that they need to get into that top two, like they desperately need to do that. And yeah, I think they're gonna have a good season.
I think the one thing that from those discussions about those three clubs we've had, which is going to be very pleasing from a neutral perspective, perhaps, is that it does seem we're heading into a season where perhaps there isn't a clear front runner for the league title. Perhaps there isn't a two horse race anymore. I think you could make very reasonable arguments that any of the big three could win the league this season. And if you were to tell me that any of the big three would be top at Christmas, and you could give me any combination of first, second, and third, it wouldn't particularly surprise me. So I think that's a very good sign in terms of the spectacle that we're going to get this season, which I'm very much looking forward to following as the season unfolds. All right, then we should just touch on everyone's favourite fourth placed side. Just a little joke. Braga, once again, it's a summer of promise with some exciting signings, but this time slightly different because there is a interesting managerial appointment as well as Carlos Vicens. has been appointed the main man in charge. They've gone down the Pep Guardiola disciple route. It's worked for other clubs around Europe, so I think we can be optimistic that it will work for Braga. And they continue to bring in interesting young talent. So just like in many years previous, there's some very good kind of positive signs in the summer. Whether that will mean they have a chance of actually finishing higher than fourth this season, disrupting the big three, will be remains to be seen. But I think we can say they've done a decent job this summer. Andrew, I know we were kind of chatting when they were playing in Europe. They made a little bit of a meal of their first doubleheader in Europe, which I think we've just got to get used to with Braga. You know, it's tough after pre-season when your first game's back is sort of 2 weeks before the season starts and it's a big European tie. It's not easy. It looks a little bit sluggish. I think we take it with a grain of salt, but they did progress and they've got a great chance of progressing as well to the Europa League group stage. But it's been an interesting signing, I think, an interesting summer, excuse me, with some good signings. I think Dorgales stood out in that game. Lagerbielk as well stood out. And they've got other players who've come in with the likes of Leonardo Lerlo, Pau Víctor, the striker from Barcelona, and Gabriel Moscardo, a very young player from PSG on loan. They're using that PSG connection. So, listen, where are you with that? Because, you know, I feel like we do say this a lot in the summer. You know, maybe there's some optimism, there's some good signings. It doesn't always materialize, but I think at the very least, you can say they're doing the best that they can, and they're putting themselves in the best position that they can do to have a good season.
For a change, I feel like Braga are showing some ambition by taking chances. They're taking a chance with Carlos Vicens, who's a manager who was an assistant manager to Pep until
Absolutely.
now. So that's a big risk you're taking. He's going to have to learn how to be sort of the main man and how to sort of build these teams, get them playing, troubleshoot, figure it all out, because it's very different to what he was doing before, because it's not on him, but now it is. And they've made some really good signings. They've also still got a very good team anyway. You know, you've got sort of the exciting Roger Fernandes, which is, you know, everyone's really excited to see him play as much as possible. He's a really exciting talent. They've still got Ricard Horta, who, you know, it's Horta. We know what he's about. And Zalazar, who's, you know, a very good player. But what I noticed in that game we were talking about, and, you know, it was a competitive game because it was for Europe. But they seemed to create chances, but they weren't as clear-cut chances as maybe they should have been. They were struggling to sort of put them away. I think that's probably going to be an issue for them going forward. They still need Pau Víctor to sort of come in. Maybe he'll be a machine and he'll just be finishing. Who knows? But what's good about this team is they've brought in exciting players that have made the team look better. They're quicker in their attacks. They still do seem a bit narrow, because, you know, it seems as if he's putting players that aren't wide players in wide positions, which is kind of strange to me. But I don't know if that's the weird Spanish manager thing where they're sort of obsessed with that, and you'll start putting four centre backs in the back. Of course, that's a joke, but you know that sort of thing where it's going to be a while until I think we see the best of this Braga team. But I think we'll see a definite improvement. Mario Turgelis, that was the guy that really stood out to me. He looked so good. He was really honored. He was sort of energetic. He was getting himself stuck into tackles. Great pass for the ball. There's one switch of play to Roger Fernandes at one point in the first half that sort of just releases Roger Fernandes for a run, and then Fernandes kind of you know, has a shot off target. But that sort of thing, I think we're going to see a lot of that sort of trying to use Fernandes in that way, because he's so explosive and he's so good in those kind of positions. Leonard Lelu, I mean, that's a player we know about. I've yet to see him for Braga. I don't know if he's even played for them yet. I think he's been on the bench mostly. Lagerbielka, yeah, he was quite impressive. Belarus, I've heard of. I think I've, yeah, he's a Strasbourg. I mean, it's a good team, and they were able to get rid of some of the other players. Mateusz, I know he was on loan, but now he's gone for good, and I think that's really good for them, to be honest. And Joe Mendes, Jibril Sumare, who, okay, you know, he's not a player. I didn't hate him as a player, but, you know, you're bringing these other players, you have to make room for them. But yeah, we'll see what happens. They have had these kind of rebirths where you think they're going to do really well, and then if Antonio Salvador can sort of keep his bottle and not sort of get worried when things start going wrong, and then, you know, do something Rash, you kind of have to give Vicens the opportunity to figure this out. If you've gone down this route, you need to be patient with him.
Yeah, we know Antonio Salvador can make some rash decisions. I would love to see the odds on Martin Anselmi being the next Braga manager before Christmas. That would be a very Antonio Salvador thing to do. No, but like I said, I think they're doing good things and they're building a young team, which I think is to be admired. The other player that kind of I like the look of in the European qualifier was just one of their youth players, Sandro Vidigal, who I'd not watched before and came on. I thought he did a very good job. So if they can really harness the potential that these young players have, plus very important to say they also do have the experience, some great experience with the likes of Ricardo Horta, João Moutinho, of course, even players like Paulo Oliveira at the back, not the best player, but there is that very valuable experience in the side. There is some potential. Kevin, I can't help but feel like if this team is to succeed, a lot does ride on the manager being able to get what he wants from the team. And, although a manager of great pedigree, still someone who's never managed a senior team before, never managed a senior team in Europe or in a men's league. So it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, and I can't say that I'm 100% convinced so far. And I'm not 100% sure about the fit in general. I think it's a very strange route to go, considering what Braga has at their disposal. Getting players like Lelouin, knowing the types of fullbacks and wingers that they have, and they're playing primarily narrow. And even the signing of Paul Victor, I think it's strange because, look, I don't know what's going on with Banza. But arguably, they already have two strikers in their squad who are better. And Petrão showed
Surely
good
Banza has
signs.
to be leaving. Surely Banza has to be
I'm
leaving.
sure he's
That is
going to be
a great
leaving.
point.
It's just strange to me because even in the case of Soumaré, I thought he was brilliant last season. And he's left to make way for, look, Vitor Carvalho is, it's not bad. He's clearly got a very different role and obviously very fundamental to what Vincennes wants to implement, but I'm not 100% sure that this squad, as is built, gets the best out of Lelu, Chissumba, and even the wingers like Roger. And as much as, look, he can go both ways, and that's one of his strong points, even players like Garbi or Gabri Martinez, even making the best out of players that were brought in and have been bit part players at best, the likes of João Marques. I don't see Vincennes coming in and making the best out of these players. And I think it's quite an awkward fit to bring in a manager of that schooling, of that philosophy. And I think if it does work, it will be very awkward. And there is a huge learning curve for some of these players. So I'm not saying that they won't finish fourth because Braga are destined to finish fourth, it seems like. And I'm not too sure how convinced I am by Santa Clara stepping up a significant level, or Porto Benfica dropping a significant level, or Vitória even bridging that gap. But yeah, I don't think it will be Braga's best season, to be perfectly honest. I just don't see enough players that will make a step up and really be benefited by this season, other than the likes of maybe Dorgelsh or maybe the likes of Moutinho having a few less minutes coming in, and that being a style of play he's very familiar with. Yeah, I'm not sold.
Do you not think it's good that they're at least trying something different? Because I think that's a criticism of mine of Braga for a long time, is that they're kind of just, they always go for the sort of steady Eddie approach and they don't really take risks. And look, taking risks is scary. You don't want to like lose that perpetual fourth place, but you have to do something different. And maybe this isn't the right thing to do, but I think it's good that they're trying something different. And if it doesn't work, I hope they don't get scared into sort of going back to what they used to do. You know what I mean?
I think it's definitely something that the president has looked at, like going the route of, oh, you've done that well at Vitória, you've done well here or there, we'll bring you up, or bringing a manager who's formerly at one of the big three, the traditional big three. He's probably looked at that approach, it's not done that well, and is thinking perhaps to bridge the gap, properly bridge the gap, invest a little bit more than general. That has happened this season, and bring in a little bit more of an unfamiliar name and a little bit of a different philosophy. I do get it. I'm just, yeah, I'm not the biggest optimist about it because it just seems very awkward right now. And obviously, it won't be at its peak, this whole idea, this whole project. It won't be at its peak at the very beginning. It'd be very immature of me to believe that, but I don't see how he facilitates the likes of these very good wide players when at most you're going to see one or two of them very isolated the whole match. And I'm not sure if the likes of Paul Victor is enough. I think it's going to be pretty much a lot of the same with a little bit more struggle in the beginning, perhaps a little bit more success near the end, but it's not going to be what Antonio Salvador is going to be happy with necessarily.
No. I mean the learning curve will be steep for the players. I think it's going to be even steeper for the manager. I think he's kind of learning on the job in a way that he's never had to he's because it's a different league as well. He doesn't even know this league. Do you know what I mean? He's
It's
never
going to
done
be a
any sort of manager.
massive, massive risk because at the end of the day, this is a manager who, or a president who's not afraid to pull the plug very early. And it's a very big risk that he's going to potentially
I have
have
a
to do
feeling
it
he's going to do
again.
it. I think he's gonna pull the plug because he just does it every time. I just don't see how he's finally gonna change his ways.
But it's always sort of underlined by this sort of the European qualifiers, isn't it, as well? Like that's absolutely huge for Braga. And if that doesn't come off, then yeah,
Well, they only scraped through with one goal, and I think Andrew, you made a great point that they struggled to create the chances, and it was very telling that the goal they scored one goal over two legs, and it was basically a bit of a it was a bicycle kick from Fran Navarro, which was not a fluke. Look, I know he meant it, but it was a special goal. It took some kind of special moment to break the deadlock. They've now got a double header against Cluj from Romania. I don't want to tempt fate. But listen, that's exactly the type of I can see the nil-nil in the first leg, and then I can just see it happening. You know, this isn't there's no guarantees that any of these things are gonna happen. I think for me, that's the biggest kind of the biggest worry about this inexperienced manager is the fact that Braga really have their season starts so early, and it's a really important start. You know, these European qualifiers are brutal. You know, it's three double header qualifiers really early in the season. And you know, to his credit, Rui Borges did great with Vitória on that last season. But I think that was an anomaly. More often than not, especially with these Portuguese teams, we do see them struggle in these European qualifiers. Fair play to Vicens because he got them through the first one. And listen, we could well be sitting here in 4, 5, 6 weeks' time, and they've improved steadily game by game. They get through the next stage, they have a solid start to the season, and things could all start to look rosy. But you know, it's a very, very fair point that it's a big risk, and it will be very interesting to see if Salvador can be patient with his own decisions. Barney, go on. Sorry, I cut you off. But yeah, how do you see the whole thing?
No, I was just gonna, you know, sort of echo what some people have said. I think, you know, the lineups in the European competitions have been quite negative. If you look at the back line, and as Kevin and Andrew mentioned, you know, you've got these excellent fullbacks that offer width, and that seems like how you should use the team. I was gonna make a sort of more general point about Braga and the sort of the way that the squad seems to be getting younger. You know, I also wanted to bring up the link with PSG because, you know, Garbi's sort of now become part of the squad, who was on loan and he's there. And then, is it Moscardo? Sorry, Moscardo, the one on loan. But, you know, the Mario Douglas signing is very exciting. It's a lot of money. I obviously have nothing on this, but I don't know if that's sort of with a view of him potentially, if he does look good, that can make the step to PSG. I'm not sure how strong the link is generally, but I think what I'm trying to say is it Braga seems to be getting younger, and there's the squad's getting younger, and obviously their model has to be about selling players on. But you know, we've seen them do different things in the past. This season looks like they are going for youth, and yeah, they do have a bit of experience around there, like João Moutinho. But otherwise, it's as we've all said, it's a bit nerve-wracking with the inexperienced manager and the inexperienced team. You know, it's. Part of me is really excited by it. You know, I'm so excited to see Roger this season. I always like looking at shirt numbers, and the fact he's gone from 11 to 7,
He
I like that. You know, it's a positive move. Like, it just looks like, I don't know. I
Yeah.
really, I just want, he's got to, this has got to be his year, hasn't it? And if, and actually, if we are looking for a player who is going to make something happen for them this year, Roger is it, right? Because I'm not sure about the strikers. I was trying to, Szymon Banza seems to be on his way out to the United Arab Emirates, but so they might get some money from him and they might reinvest. But otherwise, when you're looking at that attacking line, Roger is the guy, really. And so, yeah, it's a big season for him. He could be their talisman this year. So yeah, I'm really hopeful that happens, because he had that injury at the end of the last season, which sort of stunted his what he was doing. And he's such a good player. I just really like him, and he's still only 19. So yeah, could be a big year for him.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to see that. I have to say, I didn't notice the change from 11 to 7. That's a really bold move. I mean, I can imagine someone going from in the 20s down to 11, but to say 11's not even enough, I want the 7. Very bold move from a young player. All right, well, we also, of course, want to give a bit of time to talk about some of the teams that maybe aren't going to be at the top end of the table, but have had no less interesting kind of summer windows, teams for you to look out for. There's always these teams that start to overperform and catch the eye. So we've all picked one, and perhaps it's kind of appropriate that if we go down in alphabetical order, my choice is first, and I did want to go for Vitória. So I'm very interested to hear you three's thoughts on where this team is going to go, because if we talk about perpetual fourth place finishes, Braga, then Vitória are kind of that, but for fifth place, although it hasn't always been the case. Although I do think they've done one thing very well this summer, which is to bring in a great manager. And I think the appointment of Luis Pinto, the man who basically got Tondela promoted at only 36 years of age, is a very interesting appointment. And I think Vitória definitely are a club who should be looking at the best of Portugal, basically the best of the Portuguese league in terms of players and managers, and trying to be that club that can offer them a bigger platform for their careers. And I think it's a good move for Luis Pinto, and I think it's a good move for Vitória. They did quite well, in my opinion, to get rid of, I'm not going to say the deadwood, maybe that's a bit harsh, but some of those maybe older players who aren't quite performing and probably are fairly high up their wage structure. Players like Bruno Gaspar, like Villanueva, even a player like Felipe Alves. I mean, I know me and Barney talked about when he signed for Portimonense, we thought that was a great move. Listen, it didn't really pay off. I don't think he did that well, and they got a few million pounds for him as well. So it's not a bad bit of business. And then I think they've replaced them with some good young players. The pick of the bunch for me, there's a few interesting ones, but the one that came out today or yesterday, Aliu Ndoye, 23-year-old striker, scored 23 goals in Latvia last season. So, the guy knows where the back of the net is. Can he recreate that at probably a higher level? It remains to be seen. Kevin, I don't think you'll like this one, but Fabio Blanco from Maritimo, I think that was a good signing, and the sort of thing they should be doing, looking to the division below, looking at where the quality is, and offering them a bigger platform, which I think has worked out for them in the past and will continue to do so again. And they've got some other sort of Primeira Liga experience in the likes of Abascal, even Lebedenko from Vizela, the likes of Nobrega, perhaps not household names, but just smart signings that you're able to get in on a free transfer to build out a solid squad. But for me, I go back to the manager is the one I'm kind of quite interested in, because he was someone who I think was very impressive in Segunda Liga and did great things with Tondela. So yeah, I hope he will be a good signing, and not the next sort of. Not the next Daniel Souza, perhaps, but he who will make a positive impact on his team. And no Europe this year, which is a shame, but perhaps less distractions, because it was a real long, hard slog at the beginning of last season under Rui Borges, which they did very well, but I think perhaps was ultimately a distraction. So yeah, I don't know if any of you guys feel the same or perhaps disagree, but for me, yeah, Vitória, I don't know, I've got a good feeling that, from where I stand, they should really be locking down that fifth spot every year, and it might make the league a little bit less interesting. But I think it also is important to see a club with a big fan base and with resources do well, and I think their success is a good thing for the league. So I would, yeah, I hope to see them doing well with some good young players this season.
I'm worried personally.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like the quality of Vitória been able to acquire has been getting less and less. And you mentioned the
True.
players, the league experience. Yeah, of course, that's fine. And the interesting one, like you mentioned, Aliou Ndoye, the striker. That's the key area, right? Because they have struggled to score goals for a while. Was it Andre Silva? I was even going to go as far as back as a stupid and really for like that consistent goal scorer. So I am excited about him because, like you said, he's scored goals in Latvia, and he seems to be the only striker they're bringing in at the moment. To compete against Nelson Oliveira, who did all right, but. That's my biggest worry for now, but I think they've been, you can say they've been smart in other areas of the pitch and defense. They seemed, I think they have improved, I would say, but yeah, it's that striking position is the key area for me because that feels like it's been an issue for Vitória for a little while now.
Yeah, I have to agree with what Barney said there. The quality of players that they seem to acquire, they get sort of, I don't want to say worse, but they're not as high quality players. I mean, you've got some players that are sort of Liga players, guys that we know that we've seen over the years. And I'm interested to see how this Ndoye guy does, because it's always interesting when there's a player that does so well in a league, an obscure league like that, just to see how that translates in the Portuguese league. And they desperately need it, because you really shouldn't be going into the new season as Vitória with Nelson Oliveira as your main striker. You really shouldn't. He's done
True.
all right, and he's sort of like one of these cult classic kind of strikers, but you should have a more reliable striker with more legs, definitely. And Vitória, one of those teams that kind of always disappoint me in a way, because they sometimes they start really well a lot of the time, and then it just kind of peters off. And last season was, especially bad. But obviously they lost their manager, and it was a kind of a freak season. But yeah, I'm not really too excited by this Vitória right now. But we'll see what happens.
Maybe I was just too. I'm a big Nelson Oliveira guy. Listen, that guy's gonna drag them to the Europa League if it kills him.
I mean, I was sorry about that. I was gonna say, because we know they've had their financial issues in recent years that they've tried to address. They've sold some youth players recently for good money. They obviously haven't been spending that money that they've made because they did make a hell of a lot of money last year. And there's not many coming through that they look like. I think the only player I had written down is like a potential who could have is that do you Mercy Michel, who had a few games, the Canadian striker, but he's 21. I just think, yeah, it's the youth being promoted from within, it seems to have dried up a little bit, or maybe they just sold them all last year. I don't know, but yeah, I guess I feel like it's just yeah. And I know they had this link with Aston Villa like a couple of years ago, and then
True.
that got reduced, but we haven't seen anything from that come through. So, it feels like they're in a sticky situation, and yeah. So, I actually think the race for fifth could be quite interesting this year.
No, very true. And as a neutral, I very much hope it will be because it always does provide some drama. Go on, and let's move on to Andrew. Who's your pick for kind of who we should look out for this season?
So it's Thiago Magalhães's Nacional, a
Great
team that were punching well above their weight last season. A team that, is like a lot of the sort of lower table teams. Every single transfer window, they just bring in a bunch of either players on frees or loans. They lose players, and the squad building is very difficult because they're on a very tight budget. But Thiago Magalhães's been real interest to me ever since he sort of got to Nacional, and he had that great first season in Liga 2, where they scored a bunch of goals, and then he was able to adapt in that first season in the Primeira Liga. And they're very defensive, they're very well sort of drilled. The quality of the players are not great, because again, you're bringing in free transfers, loans, you're
Sure.
sort of trying to make it work. But he this they brought in 18 players. Only two of them they've actually bought, but the rest are all free transfers and that sort of thing. But some interesting ones, and it seems like I'll make it very quick, but it seems like they're trying to sort of find a better balance of experienced players, so players that have played in the league and that have a lot of experience even in other leagues, and young players. And I think that's really important when you're trying to make sure you don't go back down. What he wants to do is, if he can do better than he did last season, great. But staying up is the priority, right? And you do that by getting players that have the experience at this level that you can afford and sort of doing what you do best, because he's a manager that's proven that he can sort of work with what he has in a very good way. And that's a great thing to have when you're at a team like Nacional that just doesn't have a lot of money. But yeah, some of the players, Philippe Soares, who was at Fluminense last season, he's played in this league for a while. I mean, we've all heard of him. Witty's back. Witty, whose full name is Witinus. I didn't know that. Witness, that's probably my favorite name now in the league. So he's gone back to Nacional. So Lucas João, after 10 years of sort of moving around, he's returned,
Is he
and
X-rayed?
he's, yeah, X-Reading, yeah, and Sheffield Wednesday and a few other teams. He was in China for a while. But he's, huge, 6'4", physical, strong. He scored like over 100 goals in his career. So he's going to bring something different. Whether or not he can stay fit, we'll see. Matheus Dias, his move's been made permanent now. So that's good because he was a big part of that team last season. And then Jesús Ramírez, he's gone from Vitória back to Nacional. And he scored like almost 20 goals for them when they were in Liga 2. So that's sort of what he's going back for, to be that sort of striker. It didn't really work out for him at Vitória. And then, Kaki Pereira, who was at Ferenc last season, goalkeeper. I think, now he's got two other goalkeepers that have come in to sort of give Lucas França a bit of competition, which is good. And I think that's what you want. You want some depth. When you lose a bunch of players and you have to bring a bunch of players in, you want to find the right balance of experience and youth, but also have enough depth to sort of help you through games, and and with that amount of youth as well, they can sort of meet the demands, the tactical demands that Thiago Madrid puts on his players, which is, very front-footed, quite robust defensively as well, but sort of playing and being proactive. That's sort of been what they've been about. But yeah, I think they're going to do really well if he carries on. He's one of these managers that, they were saying he might go to the UAV at the end of last season. I don't know if you remember that, when they were talking about who might go to the UAV, and he's sort of on that trajectory. He's probably not quite ready for like a Braga or something like that yet, or certainly not the top three, but he's on that trajectory of, his next one is going to be an interesting team, a team with more resources, a team with more stability. And yeah, I'm excited to see what he does. I don't know what you guys think about Nacional's chances this season, but yeah.
Well, I was always impressed by Margarito, and I think definitely it's a great team to pick out. I mean, undoubtedly one of the smallest teams in the leagues in terms of budget and resources and what have you, but seem to always kind of outperform themselves. And yeah, I mean, I'm just reading the sort of list of signings now as for the first time, and it is interesting, and it is a great balance, I think, which is really good, great experience. And I think the most important thing for me is, I know Kevin will feel the same, but I'm a big kind of. I always want to see representation from the island teams, whether that's Madeira or the Azores or whatever it is, and these teams have such a big role to play in our league that I'm delighted when I see them doing well and in a strong position, which is what it does feel like with Nacional.
I think they're in realistically quite a decent position, because the trouble is more establishing yourself in the league as one of these sides, because as one of the island teams, you need to battle against the teams that don't need to travel every other week. And the help that you get as an island team isn't as much as you would expect for them to remain competitive. It's like they do, it's not an advantage for them. As much as it might be a selling point to bringing a player in, it's not an advantage at all. So as much as people, outsiders really, would like to look at the island teams and be like, you're a bit annoying, this game has been delayed or whatnot, it doesn't benefit the island teams as well. It's quite impressive that they're even at this level. And it's huge credit to Thiago Margarido, considering the level of turnover every single season. I think coming into last season, he had a At one point, he had less than starting 11 to start off like training. So it is really mental. And once again, it is a high level of turnover, but he manages to balance the side very well. And that is usually the massive, massive challenge. And he's a very, very, he's a young coach, but he's very level-headed, which will probably serve him very well in the long term. Perhaps not ready for Vitória or Braga, but I wouldn't say he's too far off either. And another good season here with Nacional. They were my pick as well. Andrew kind of stole them from me. Yeah, another good season, and I can see him jumping ship more than some of their players did, because I think it really is telling that none of these players that left Nacional from last season to this season really made a step up. The likes of Sumare, he went back to Braga, the parent club, and has now gone to the championship. A couple of them switched inside the league, but you can't say that they made a massive jump up, and that's probably really the testament to the manager's work.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll come on to Kevin's choice in a second, and that Ireland theme will continue. But yeah, really, really, me and Brian have always had a big soft spot for Nacional, and I'm sure that will continue this season. Speaking of which, Barney, go on. Do you want to give us your team, your choice for a team to look out for that perhaps we might not be already?
Yeah, well, I was looking at the promoted team, and now I'm questioning my pronunciation. I was going to say Alverca. Is that good?
Almeca.
Alverca, thank you.
Nice.
I was really interested in them because, well, a couple of things.
Did they make any signings?
Well, yeah, I guess that's the main thing, is that there's been a huge amount of signings, right? And
One of
they're
them's a promising young American player called Travis Scott.
Well, yeah, so this is the interesting thing. They're owned by Vinicius Junior, and who's part of I've forgotten the name, but it's Jay-Z's group, but from Brazil. What's it called? Is it
They're
Roc
called Roc
Nation?
Nation, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like celebrity interest in it, and there is money in it. And I think the thing I find particularly interesting is this sort of view of signing young South American and young African players is sort of their sort of model, and there's been quite a few of those sort of players come in. They lost their manager, who went to, is it Moreirense, I believe. So they've got a new manager in Custódio, who, yeah, I don't know much about him, but it's I can't basically I can't remember a time when we've seen a promoted team come up. I remember talking about when Santa Clara came up and oh, they had so much stability, it was really good. Then we see other promoted teams come up and struggle, and that's when they have instability and they bring in a lot of the transfers, like loads of random players all over from the league and Brazil coming in, loads of different ages. Alverca have come in and they've just signed young players, like 22, 20. Like, I can't really see any signings of experience, and that's why I find it really interesting and quite excited, really. I mean, you look at the goalkeeper, Andre Gomes, who's come on loan from Benfica. He's going to be their number one goalkeeper, probably. He's like, that's exciting. I know he's got, like, did he get the international cap? But they're banking on that. They've brought in a few players on loan. I guess the person they've been the most experienced is Chiquinho from Wolves, who, he's probably the best player that, or the most notable player they've signed in terms of value. And they've spent a bit of money on Leo Xu, a Brazilian striker from FC Dallas. But otherwise, honestly, I don't know any of these players particularly. Like, I can't pick out names. All young, all South American. They've signed a player who from, is it Mauritania? Is that the country's name? Who came,
Oh.
so like a young African talent. He came through like a FIFA Pro Academy or something like that. But the focus is just youth. And I'm so excited to see how this translates on the pitch, because it's sort of what you want to happen, right? It's like, that's exciting. Like, you want these young players to like have great seasons and they'll sell on and make money. It's just a really interesting way of doing it. And I really am fascinated to see how it plays out this season. If you're on, I'm on transfer market now. I think like there's four or five players with squad numbers. The rest of the squad is all new stuff. So like, yeah, it's who knows what it's going to be like this season, but for me it's exciting and it's different. And I wonder if any of you guys can tell me if you remember any team doing this getting promoted, but it just seems so, yeah, it's out there, and let's see what happens.
Whatever
I'm
happens.
kind of speechless. I'm j
Yeah.
I genuinely, Barney was here talking about Alverca. I was listening, but I was also trying to count the amount of signings that they did, because I've got like the whole list.
Yeah.
I got to about 25 and I actually stopped counting. I lost count. It is bonkers, and
Yeah.
yeah, it could be very, very interesting for either European push or straight relegation, and I don't even put up a fight.
Well,
But
whatever
yeah,
happens, it's not going to be mediocre, is it? It's going to be pretty fascinating to watch.
this is box office, and it's like there
Yeah.
are a few names that you can pick out, like Jürg Salomel, ex-Sporting Academy player. He's been kicking
Nice.
about for a while. Tomáš Mionč, I do like the look of him. 20-year-old midfielder, he's a good player. Gonçalo Esteves is back. He's playing
Yeah,
alongside
true.
Fernando Varela, the big centre back that we're quite familiar with. It's just so random. It's like that's all I have to say. It's random.
They've got the nice night kits, right? Which I guess is, I'm assuming, is some sort of link to Vinny Jr. Like,
It's the biggest kit downgrade in the league by far, and I will not hear any arguments. It's a disgrace.
did Travis Scott wear last season's kit? No.
the marketing department are happy.
Case closed.
So I was just counting. So 28, they made 28 transfers so far. And I mean, in sort of preparation for this podcast, I was checking when I was doing my Nacional work. When they came up, they did 27. So they did one less. So
Whoa, wow. Gosh.
Alverca won this one, I guess.
Chelsea? We've still got 4 weeks of the window as well.
And we still got more. Yeah, I mean, we could crack 30 with this one, you know what I mean?
Anything can happen.
Which is so crazy because I don't know how you do that. I guess when you come up, when you've been down there for a while and you come up, you sort of want to make a difference and sort of bring in as many players as you can. But this seems a
That
bit
they
on the
did.
silly side.
And sorry, I won't say, because I've got to say, Custodio, the manager, is the ex Braga B manager. So this is his first job in the big time as well. So like, it's everything. It's a complete gamble. And I think one of the reasons that they're having to buy so many players, they sold a lot of players. Like Santa Clara bought three of their players who did quite well from last year. Like they've so you know it, it yeah, it's just mad. And part of me feels like they're going to be all right. I don't know. I feel like there's a little part of me just thinks this might just work.
Let's hope so. It could be. Whatever happens, like I said, you can't take your eyes off it. It's definitely going to be a funny one to keep an eye on. Kevin, come on, we'll finish up with your choice. You were denied one island team, so I think you've gone for another.
Have and I feel awful about it because Barney's just gone for the most mental team in the league, and I've gone for the most boring one. Because
From
I've
one end
just
of the
based,
spectrum to the other.
yeah, and I've kind of just based this off of what never happens in this league, and that is a team that has performed very well last season. I've actually kept their players and their manager,
Yeah.
so there's not too much I can extend upon what they're keeping from last season, which is bulk of the squad, the likes of Gabriel Silva, still there, and the spine of the team, the defense that served them so well, the two experienced defenders, Venancio Rocha, still there, goalkeeper, still there, Batista. So that is basically what we don't get the opportunity to do so often, which we wish we could, is a team that has performed very well last season, gone past all our expectations, going to Europe. Battled Vitória, managed to pick them to fifth place. Even looked like they could have done a little bit more at one point of the season. Started very well. That spine is still there, and as Barney alluded to, they have made three signings from Alverca, who were very impressive last season, including their number nine, Anthony Carter, an Australian. Does look quite good, and I think there's potential for João Costa, who was making waves in the lower divisions in Portugal as well, to make an impact. And I do kind of like this hybrid approach to their recruitment, which is heavy Brazilian influence, which has to do with their board. But also they do look further down to Liga 3 and the second division and see what they can poach from around there. So I am keeping an eye on those two forwards particularly. And the rest of it is quite boring because at the end of the day, Vasco brought their success on being very, very well drilled defensively, very good in transition. And I wouldn't expect too much difference on that aspect. So, yeah, I just expect more of the same. And I think that's a good thing at the end of the day because You can't keep on having different clubs up and down, and expecting different results in Europe. Santa Clara, they're going to have another venture this season. Let's see how it goes. It hasn't gone off to like the best start in the world, but they're still progressing. They still made it through their first match. The next ones, they don't look like the most difficult of opposition, but if you don't have the experience, you can crumble. And at this stage of the season, it's very possible that you make more of a meal of it. Yeah, Braga. So at the end of the day, I think we should just expect a little bit more of the same from Santa Clara. That sort of sixth, maybe seventh, if they have a little bit of an off period. But potentially, seeing as Vitória don't look as sure as they did at the start of last season, and perhaps Braga have an off period at this initial stage of what seems like a very different sort of project, I think it's very good to have Santa Clara in such a stable manner. They have decent backing, and it's beneficial for the whole league to have a club that is building in European stature, to that is familiar with that competition, and to perhaps get a few more ranking points from the Conference League, which can make a big difference. So
Absolutely.
yeah, I'm not going Santa Clara to make any surprises, but perhaps to maintain the level which we haven't seen too often in the past.
I mean, we say it's you say it's a boring choice, but how long have we been calling for a team like this, a team which is able to have that consistency and to really build? And it would be fantastic to see them build on what they did last season, although as you rightfully point out, they don't necessarily have to have the exact same success for it to be a successful season, but just that off-field stuff with building the squad and keeping the manager and keeping the players, and taking it step by step is such an important thing for clubs outside the big three and Braga and to be doing. And yeah, it's great that it's happening. It's great that it's happening to a team from the Azores. I have to say, I completely agree. I dislike when you hear people moaning about having to go to these island teams. You know, it's such a unique part of not only the league but of the country, and it's important that these teams are represented, and I really enjoy when they do well, so all power to them. Yeah, I hope they long may it continue.
I was just
Yeah,
gonna
I mean,
add,
for
like, oh,
no,
sorry,
go on.
go on, Andrew.
No, you go on, go on, you go.
I was just gonna add, isn't this like, we shouldn't, like, the continuity is almost ridiculous, isn't it? Because, like, the pretty much the same team that came up as
Yeah.
they last, and I don't know. For me, that just, I'm filled with confidence. Like, you know, I'm looking at that fifth spot for them. I think, I really hope they can get to the Conference League, like, get to the group stage of that to see what happens there. But, like, it's incredible what they're doing. It's just like so unheard of, and I think they had a really good defense last season that seems to have added a couple of players there. Like Kevin mentioned, the attack they've added as well, so they can hopefully get some more goals. I think they're all set to have a really strong season again.
Yeah, and as boring as it may seem, you know, not too long ago they were playing in Liga 2, so they haven't been here that long. And for them to sort of be able to be this stable so quickly, it means that they have to do a lot of the same things in a very similar way. And that's good because you need that stability. You need to be able to keep your players, your manager. You know, usually in the past, a manager does what they did with Santa Clara last season, and he's gone. He's gone to a different team in the league, or he's gone elsewhere. So the fact that they've been able to keep him is huge, and we'll see how long they can keep him. I mean, you could just see something happening where, you know, maybe a Braga or something like that try and get him, or something in that sort of world. But I think that the fact they've been able to be so consistent so soon after getting here, and they look so good even now, is sort of a testament to how they run, and that's what most teams that get promoted want as quickly as possible. And some of them takes forever to do that, and some of them don't ever sort of do that. They just go straight back down or whatever.
Absolutely. And listen, I hope they do well in Europe as well. They're heading to Northern Ireland to play Larne in their next doubleheader, and then they could be facing, I believe it's either Lincoln Red Imps from that place
Gibraltar.
in from Gibraltar, exactly, which, or Noah from Armenia, probably slightly more likely. But anyway, they have a great opportunity to progress in Europe, which would be just another fantastic achievement for that club. But look, guys, I think we'll leave it there. That was a fantastic in-depth bumper episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast. I hope it got you excited about the season to come. It all kicks off this Friday. Sporting will be taking on Casapia to kick the season off, and we'll be here next week to discuss all the action from the first week of the Premier League season. I cannot wait to get going and start watching some Premier League football again, which we'll get to do very soon. But I think we'll leave it there for this episode. It just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.